Mikey and Rin Eating, yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Hi guys, welcome to Mikey and Rin Eat In. This is Mikey.
And this is Rin.
We have a special topical news program for you today. As was discussed, I hope that you all listened to last week's episode where we did a From the Freezer episode, IVF pun included. We're here to talk about what's going on in our country, specifically Alabama, but kind of the greater conversation that it's led to. And that's surrounding IVF. And those of you who've listened to our show for a certain amount of time will know that this show kind of started as a show about fertility and about the fertility journey that we were on. And that very much included IVF. And I think we're both really concerned about what's happening right now and frustrated and have a lot of feelings about, you know, what this conversation could mean for people that are trying to use IVF or people that are trying to have a baby in general, women's health in general, women's rights, all the above. So we wanted to get on here and talk about it.
Yeah, there's been big updates recently. I think just within the past day.
Yeah.
So basically my understanding is that it was a case that the Alabama Supreme Court was ruling on, right? Where there were this accidental destruction of embryos.
Yeah. It was a patient that made it through an unsecured door.
Right.
In an IVF clinic. I mean, I don't know much about that person. I'm like, you know, it just sounds wild. But they went in and they grabbed, the cryogenically frozen embryos out of the freezer, burned their hands, and then dropped the embryos and they didn't survive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is an interesting place. What word do we use?
Right.
So the article that I read, which was from, I think it was Politico, said killed the embryos. Isn't that a weird, therefore kind of, I don't know, on some level, ipso facto agreeing that this is, that they were lives.
Right. Yeah. I mean, language is tricky
sure.
in these circumstances.
And so, so basically three separate couples were involved. They were their embryos. So they sued for wrongful death.
Right.
And the original case found that the embryos didn't satisfy the current Alabama law surrounding death, meaning life, meaning personhood.
Right.
That's where the debate started.
Right. And so then what the Supreme Court decided is that embryos can be included in this personhood clause, right?
Yeah. So therefore destroying them, freezing them, like having them kept for later use. Those are all considered, what's the word that they're using? I mean, they're basically saying that it's the like wrongful treatment, harmful treatment slash wrongful death.
Crime.
It's a crime.
It comes down to.
Right.
And so this is why IVF clinics really clammed up and ceased all treatment, right?
Yeah.
But especially transfers, because what happens and what happened for us three times when we did an embryo transfer is, and you don't always have to do a frozen embryo transfer. Some people choose to do a fresh transfer, but we did frozen because we chose to have our embryos genetically tested again under this clause. Every step of the way with IVF, there's absolutely no guarantees that this, you know, these cluster of cells are going to survive these like pretty intense procedures, right? The fertilization, the growing in a petri dish, basically, extraction so that they can do genetic testing, and then the freezing, and then the unfreezing, right? With very good reason, reproductive doctors got really frightened that, well, there's a possibility that if we take this embryo out of the freezer and it doesn't survive the thaw, then we're liable for that.
Right.
And so,
basically what it sounds like it came down to was literally like their liability insurance, the levels of liability that they would have to hold to keep practicing IVF was just going to be absolutely destructive. And and the thing about it is a lot of the people making this decision in the Alabama Supreme Court knew that. And so they,
it's why it's happening.
Of course. And it's the same thing as, like, you know, when they did the kind of roundabout ways where they said abortion clinics have to have the hallways have to be 8.5 feet wide or whatever. And it was like, oh, well, nobody built 8.5 foot wide hallways. There's literally no reason for that. So because of that, they were able to shut them down kind of backhandedly.
Right.
Well, and you know, what's interesting is Ohio just had the case where it didn't end up happening, but there was a black woman in Ohio that had a miscarriage at home and then was charged with the death of the baby. And, you know, so it's like, of course, this is not the first case of this. This is, you know, something where, so of course, IVF.
It's also not the first case of a black woman. Well, for sure. That's happening too.
Yeah. That's why I mentioned it. I mean, it's, you know, and so IVF is so we're going to unpack a fair amount of things, right? So it's a really nuanced conversation, I feel like, on some level, right? Because if I was one of those three couples and this clinic had this person bust into the freezer and then we lost our embryos, like by the time where we had these embryos frozen, I did think of them as my babies. Like I thought of them as my children. I knew that intellectually they weren't yet. And I also knew that the path from embryo to live birth was tenuous at best. You know, I mean, I knew that there were so many things and that, you know, very low percentage chance potentially that it was going to happen. But I like was emotionally attached to those embryos to the point where I was like, I would have killed and died for them for sure. That being said, I also understood that in the process, very high likelihood that it wasn't going to be successful. And also, if let's just say our first embryo transfer had been successful with a live birth, and then maybe we didn't decide to have other children, I was okay with the decision to destroy the embryos.
Right.
And I think it's 100% okay. Again, it's my body, my choice. It's something that my body produced, my choice. You get to do whatever you want with them.
Right.
That being said, I did have a major emotional attachment. And this is the place where I think a lot of the people talking about this, a lot of the anti-choice activists and a lot of Republicans, they don't have the ability to have a nuanced conversation about it.
Right.
It's just protect the babies at all costs without any thought to anything. Life of the mother, complications due to the pregnancy, the fact that miscarriages happen, the fact that embryos, it's a 5-day gestation.
Right.
Like it's a blastocyst. It's no one would know that they were pregnant.
No.
At 5 days. At all.
And we've seen microscopic photographs of what these blastocysts look like. And it's like a funny little alien pizza kind of or something.
Well, what was the question you asked me the other day? You were like, remember. Do you think that these Republicans think that it's just
it looks like a little tiny baby or something?
Like I think that people think it's like one of those little things you get out of a 25-cent machine and you just pour water
on it. You put it in water.
Yeah. Like it's just a tiny baby. Bro, it's not.
Right.
Also, just to hear a lot of the Republicans' lack of, I mean, and we're talking, so Tommy Tuberville, I don't know if that's how you say his name. It looks like Tuberville. He's this fucking Republican senator from Alabama who's a former football coach. Hoorah. And I think that's an army noise, but football man noise, insert here. He was interviewed by
a reproductive expert is what you're saying.
100. And he was asked about it. And basically you're from Alabama. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest fucking thing that's being talked about in the news right now. You should be a well-oiled argument machine about what you want to say about this. Mm-hmm. This person asked him a super down the middle question. And it was blatantly obvious in that moment he didn't know what IVF was.
Sure.
He was like, well, we love the babies. We just want people to have more babies. And she was like, well, that's what IVF is for having babies. And then basically you could tell he didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. And he was like, well, yeah, everybody should have access to have more babies. And she's like, okay, that's what IVF is. Do you agree with this decision that they made? And he basically just totally, whatever, backed out.
Well, that's a big part of the problem, right? Is there's this disconnect between belief, what you think your beliefs are, and what the reality of what's going on is. You know, there's so far removed, right, from what the process of IVF is,
sure,
what the process of conception is, right? what the process of having an abortion is.
Yeah.
What it's there's such a deep lack of misinformation.
Oh,
there's a
sure.
deep lack of understanding. There's so much misinformation, and it's so frustrating that these are the courts that are then. And don't get me started on why these courts are the way that they are.
Of course, sure. I mean, it's all by design.
But, you know, I think, like, to your point, you having this emotional attachment to the embryos, right? Like, I understand that because my body literally went through process.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it was an emotional attachment to the embryos per se. I think it was just it was so much emotional labor and so much physical work to get there that I can't imagine the like frustration of, okay, now this is gone and I have to start over again, you know, versus like now with Riggsy, something happening to his life, right?
Oh,
that
yeah,
he's
yeah,
Earthside.
Sure.
I mean, it's a really like, I don't know. I can't square that circle in my brain, right?
But that's all you need. But in order to make people have an emotional decision about this. I mean, look at the anti-choice billboards, right?
Sure.
All they say is fingernails grow at 7 weeks old or whatever. Mm-hmm. They have these things that in sort of personhood mentality, they humanize this, mm-hmm. The process to the point where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine what sort of a monster would decide to get rid of something with fingernails, you know?
Right.
And
what they don't understand is that a fingernail can't just like exist outside of the body,
yes.
right?
Yeah. And
I mean,
I mean, we lost a lot of pregnancies mm-hmm. and a lot of people lose more than we did. Mm-hmm. And there's just so, and I don't think one of the things is that a lot of times when people are trying to have a baby or not trying to have a baby and their body is pregnant, they don't know it at the very early stages. And then they'll have like a very heavy period mm-hmm. and it was actually a miscarriage and people don't know that. So
yeah, I would love for, some of the really intense Christians to understand that God is like one of the largest owners of an abortion clinic.
Yeah, he's the biggest abortion clinic doctor out there. And your body, if there's anything, I mean, so Corinne, what's your cute little uterus called?
Oh, a bifurcated uterus?
A bifurcated uterus. So like, I think of it like the game Operation, right? You touch the edges and it's like, if there's a baby in the uterus, and there's any sort of thing going on. This is one of the reasons that we couldn't do twins was that your body will be like, oh, it senses that there's not enough room. It senses that something might be off. And it will oftentimes end the pregnancy.
Right.
And so it's just the fact that we're talking about miscarriage being someone's fault. We're talking about abortion being something that you can't have access to. We're talking about the embryos. It's just this lack of a nuanced thinking. And then B, just this, I also think that I've been saying HIPAA Christians, like there's this whole morality campaign that mm-hmm. they're trying to push, that this moral superiority where it's like, we love babies. Like that's the extent of their argument. Like we don't want to kill babies. And it's just a really dumb, but kind of perfect argument.
Sure.
Because it's like when the person you're outside of REI is where it always happens to me. And the person from, PETA comes up and it's like, do you like seals being bludgeoned to death?
No.
And I'm like, no, I don't like that. I promise you that I don't like that.
Right.
But I'm also like, I don't want 100 emails about this. Can I just give you $5 to go away? And like, it's just, I need to go and get some fucking socks. I'm sorry. And it's just, it's like, it's this argument that's like, it's so spacious that like, it's just like, it allows for any sort of, you know, you can kind of interpret it in any way you want. And it's like, we're the party that loves babies more.
Right. Right.
And I'm just like, A, fuck you, because that's a really bullshit argument. B, like I've said this before, you're not pro-life. You're anti-choice. If you were pro-life, then you would be against the like death sentences and executions. Mm-hmm. You would be against the way that we treat people in our country that have less than. You mm-hmm. would actually be living by other biblical rules too. Mm-hmm. And you would not be so pro-gun. I don't know, you would look at things once the baby is out into the world, you're like, let's fucking lock them up, shoot them, get them right. killed by the cops, whatever it is. It's not true. You're pro-birth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then pro-gestation and birth.
Right. And your anti-social programs. You don't sure. do anything to help people once they're actually alive.
Sure.
And so...
But let's describe the light at the end of this tunnel, which happened so quickly.
Yeah. Well.
And was such a deep response. Like, you know, I saw the protests that were happening yeah. outside of the courthouse.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, all these IVF families and kids.
Yeah.
And it was just really,
it's cool.
powerful to see the response. And, you know, this is in Alabama, which is very much a red state. And both the House, I think the Senate, I think it was unanimous. Oh, in yeah. the Senate. It was
34-0.
I mean.
And then the other one was like 54-3 or something. I can't remember what it was. But it's, you know, here's another thing that Rinny said the other day that I thought was such a good point is you go after abortion. And abortion is like, A, it's a much wider experience. There's tons more people that have abortions than mm-hmm. do IVF. Mm-hmm. 2% of babies in the country are born from IVF. Mm-hmm. I don't know percentages on abortions, but you know, abortion can kind of be one of those things. Maybe it trends lower income. It trends maybe younger. And it's like trends more kind of people that are disenfranchised. You go for IVF, it trends wealthier. It yep. trends more money. It trends potentially whiter. Mm-hmm. It trends towards people that are fucking actually listened to in our country.
Exactly.
So it's like, yeah. you know, and there were so many people in the U.S. Senate that had, they or their wives had done IVF. Mm-hmm. And it was like, this whole thing happened and they were like, well, wait, what? Hold on a second here.
You're not coming for that.
And Alabama too. There was mm-hmm. a ton of women that stood up and they were like, we didn't vote for this. This was a wild thing that happened. And it was a Supreme Court
yes,
thing that went
yes,
through. So it's like, yeah. it's, you know, for them, it's like, we didn't have none of the like regular folks that are in our, you know, our state assembly, state Senate voted for this. Mm-hmm. And so it just was very quick. It's temporary though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting to see, you know, who has access to what,
yeah.
whose voices are heard the loudest. When do things happen the quickest?
Oh, for
right?
sure. White and money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's so sad. I shouldn't laugh at it, but I mean, it's just, it's become so ridiculous at this point. It's just like,
right.
of course.
Right. There's also the bill in the Senate, correct? Let's see. Or I mean the,
we're going to probably use the wrong political terms. No, you don't come
no,
here for
no. It's in the Senate. It's
the big Senate or the Alabama Senate.
The big Senate.
Yeah.
What's her name? Tammy Duckworth.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And another Senate. I think her name's Murray. But they are also. I think they're calling it the.
Was this the federal protection for IVF?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the Family Something
yeah, Act. Yeah, I did see that.
The Right to Build Families Act.
Yeah.
This new legislation would establish a statutory right to access IVF and other ART, so assisted reproductive technology services, thereby preempting any state effort to limit such access
right.
and ensuring no hopeful parent or their doctors are punished.
Well,
so this is, again, by someone, Senator Duckworth, who had IVF
yeah.
and had two daughters
yeah.
from IVF. So.
And so, but what's interesting to me though, is that IVF will be protected, but what does that mean? What does it actually mean for the embryos though? Cause keeping, storing embryos, mm-hmm. destroying embryos, that's all, it's all part of IVF. Mm-hmm. So this is the part that I think is going to be a really interesting. The part that fucks me off is that so many of the people that are now like on the front lines of this argument for the anti-choice side of things, like just found out that a lot of this was a thing.
Sure.
You know, and
sure,
it's like, sure, oh, well, sure. wait, they're doing what with the babies? And like, it's just, and so they're, of course, now going to, this is going to be something that, you know, dumb, uninformed Trump is going to start talking about. And it's just, I mean, any of these things, like, it's, you know, all that really matters in politics for people to care about things is when it strikes you personally, right? Mm-hmm. You knew a gay, you have a gay brother. So then suddenly this like wildly conservative Republican is like, well, actually I'm for gay rights because I know my brother and he's not a monster. Mm-hmm. And so I think IVF has touched enough people. I hope that it's like, but IVF, I feel like it's two different categories to me. IVF is one thing. I think people can get behind like, oh yeah, IVF, that I'm okay with. But then this idea of the embryos, mm-hmm. I think they're going to try to separate, like it's going to be like you're not allowed to keep or destroy, which I don't know what that means. So it's going to be like, what are they going to argue? Fresh well, transfers
they're,
only?
They're going to have to adopt the embryos then is what's
going
to happen.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, this I don't is know.
Perfect. That's one of my favorite arguments that I see. There's the Good Liars on Instagram. There are these two guys that are multiple guys that go around to like Trump rallies and will like ask them like, you know, the questions like, oh, I see that your shirt says never surrender. And it's got a picture of Trump from when he surrendered to the cops and he's it's his mugshot. And they're like, ooh. And but they'll say like, you know, oh, it's interesting that you're, you know, you're anti-choice or like you want you're pro-birth. So will you adopt some of these babies? Or how many babies have you adopted? People are like, why? I didn't adopt any. And it's like, okay, well then shut the fuck up.
Right. Yeah. And this, you know, this conversation is all about people, whether same sex or opposite sex right. couples, you know, being able to have, you know, biological children, sure. right?
I don't even think a lot of these Republicans have made it through their brains that it's not just man woman that we're talking
sure.
about.
Sure. Oh boy. I know. Don't even introduce it.
like, you know, some of the, I don't know if we've talked about it on the show, but we've had a couple like people in our world that have had like pretty wild dynamics where like someone's donated sperm to their sister who's using a donor egg.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just
can you imagine?
Just there'll be a lot of
for $1 million.
Yes. Explain to me how? Yeah, like there's gonna be so many red hats with just brain just going, just blowing the hat and brain up. Because it's just this is the thing. It's not just oh man. It's not just I had a couple too many margaritas at Margaritaville. Went home to my wife, pumped her twice, and then made a baby. Made our 17th baby.
Right.
I'm sorry that I'm using a broad again, Southern accent, but I don't know.
This is again the distance, right? It's like when our mothers were pregnant with yeah. us, they didn't even have ultrasound yet, right?
Holy
so
shit.
You just like see a growing midsection.
And you're like, oh,
and then. Birth a baby yeah, somehow belly birth right
yeah
and so holy it's like shit, dude, it's right. like can you imagine that and yeah. then when you birth that baby if you have a live birth yeah. it's a you're birthing a baby
yeah.
right
yeah yeah
and so you miss all of this time in between
yeah.
where it is the day five embryo where mm-hmm. it is a fetus where, I mean, there are stages,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
It's not the little miniature baby that then just grows and grows and grows. And so
yeah.
This is what's wild about IVF, right? Is you see
you know
every
process.
Single process you,
yeah.
you, I literally felt eggs. I felt like yeah. a big egg basket.
Yeah.
And then we saw the day five embryo. Yeah. And then we got a 6-week ultrasound and a 9-week. Yeah, exactly.
For my only part of the whole process, I jacked off into a cup and cut my penis a little.
This is what reproductive technology has to do next is yeah. really figure out how a male body can carry.
Oh God. My dream.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Can become pregnant.
Yeah.
And then birth a baby because
yeah.
none of this would be in existence.
No, God, are you kidding? Well, but hold on though. Let's just be real though. Tommy Tuberville, that fuck is definitely
not
going
right?
to volunteer to do that. Like that's the that would be the least massive. Those like football boys would be like, oh, I'm not going to turn me into a girl. I mean, it's okay. This is I know that we're maybe towards the end of the show. Tell me if this vibes with you at all. Mm-hmm. I've been having this thing lately. So, and this is, we're not going to talk about the Middle East or about Israel and Gaza, but all of the conversations that I've been hearing about that, right? They're mm-hmm. talking about all these things. They talk about all the casualties. They talk about everything. And then they say women and children.
Mm-hmm.
Are we still using that phrase?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it, do you find it weird? Like children, I get. Like, because mm-hmm. it's like the children, they're fucking innocent. They have nothing to do with this. Babies, mm-hmm. whatever, of course. The women part, it's like it makes it sound like it's we're lumpy. So the men, there's like the people that are maybe actively fighting. We definitely don't care about them. Then there's the men. We don't care about them. And it's women and children.
Then there's the frail beings.
The frail. We don't need to. Yeah. Like they are, they're like totally unable to protect themselves, unable to whatever. I mean, it's, I don't know. It doesn't fit in this argument, but it does feel like it's like I obviously listened to stuff on like NPR and they're saying women and children. And I'm like, right. It just, it feels so odd to me. It feels like it's so disempowering to women.
Right, right. No, I hear what you're saying. Well, and it does relate in some ways. Because if you other, and if you dehumanize, and I don't want to say dehumanize, but if you infantilize, maybe is a better word.
That's kind of, overprotect for.
Then you can feel righteous in doing the things that are happening now. Yeah. Right. So it's, I don't know. It's sort of
dehumanizing or something. Or it's, and also like, it's like the ultimate mansplaining or something like that. It's
sure.
Like, there's a lot of bad bitches out there who could fire a missile at a helicopter real dopely.
Well, and just speaking of like conception and reproduction and birth, and it's us that are doing all of that. And that shit is,
amen.
That shit is no joke.
Yeah. I'm just like,
you gotta be a strong ass bitty to do that.
And I'm sorry, TT Tommy Tubbs, that like, you're the person that I'm aiming my fucking vitriol at. But like, if you had to go through the shit that I saw my wife go through, not saying as on my part, I'm saying you going through like preeclampsia and like almost dying and all this shit, you would not. You just wouldn't. I know. Roll Tide, bitch. Like, you got nothing. The hardest thing you've ever done in your life was have the ice bucket of Gatorade poured on your head.
It was really chilly, though.
Oh, and he can't read. So that's a hard one, too.
Hey, let me ask you, this is a little impromptu, but because we are a food show.
What am I, Sprite eating at Alabama?
Well, maybe that. But I was going to say, if you could prepare a meal or a snack or a little amuse-bouche for Tommy Tuberville, what would you prepare for him? Like, would you prepare him?
Is it going to be a balut egg?
That's what I was wondering. Like, because I was kind of thinking, I think about a lot of these people. We have a toddler currently, and he is like he's really exploring the space of his toddlerhood. Let's just say that.
Yeah. And let's also say that like we made some jokes that I was like, when he was in the middle of like a gigantic tantrum and I was like, maybe they should get rid of IVF.
So dark.
Super dark. But no, he's been monstrous with 85% of it launching at Rin.
For sure.
No
like
doubt.
Drama coming for your mama. But
saved,
I think,
and curated for your mama.
But I think about, you know, some of these people in the courts and then some of these lawmakers as like, as toddlers, you know,
because
they have this really difficult time with, here's what I want. This is what I want. And I don't, nothing else exists.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't reason.
Yeah.
And with toddlers, it's because they literally don't
quite have
the brain capacity yet.
Sure.
But I don't know. I think so, you know, we talk a lot about what we're feeding our toddler. So I had this idea that like, okay, so Riggsy's going through, you know, I think a big developmental leap right now. He just started walking, which is enormous. He's getting more teeth. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, you know, shit's firing on all cylinders right now. Right. So we've been feeding him tons of fat. Like he just wants to eat sticks of butter.
Yeah.
And so I was just thinking like, what would I feed Tommy Tuberville? Cause he is Tommy Tuberville, the toddler a little bit.
Oh, triple T. I mean, so the wanting to gather everybody together around the big table version of me, the like liberal, I want to bring everybody in and we need to like change heart and minds and all see each other.
Tell your story.
Yeah. It's something I'd want to make like a big, you know, like table full of shareable food. And we all bring, you know, people with different backgrounds and different opinions and stuff. We all get around the table and we drink a bunch of wine and we have these great conversations, you know? So like, that's the kind of like genial part of me, or like the diplomatic part of me. I want to like, but the other part of me wants to serve him like a turducken. So it's like, turkey, duck, whatever on the outside. You know, you chop through and it's all the different animals. And he would love it because he's from the South. And it's just like so much murder. This is the other part for me that I find funny is it's like, oh, you're cool with like murdering every animal. But like,
sure.
So yeah, but then so like you cut through it and I'd serve him this big, nice slice that gets all of the layers or whatever. And he would eat it all and he'd be like, wonderful. And then I'd be like, Tommy, you know what was the center of that? It was a human foot. Yeah, it was a guy's foot that you, your Alabama system wrongfully put away when he went to
why not
executed.
Yeah, I he like that. Executed. Why not a foot,
and
too?
It was
that's
a foot.
Good.
Because in my, I also am cool with people eating people. I'm kind of cool with all the things. Like, I don't know why we're not on menus. Like, it should be, it's my body, my choice. I can cut my leg off and serve it if I want to. I think that maybe I would serve him my foot.
Yeah.
That's... I don't know. It's a little dark. I think it's kind of funny. It was impromptu, so I hadn't really thought it out, but I think that's fun. And then I just watch his face fall apart.
Yeah, I like it.
Did you ever hear about that dinner that woman served?
Where it was...
Or no, the guy. I'm sorry, it was a guy. There was the woman who, I can't remember her name, but the great photographer who would have sex with her husband on her period and then would take pictures of the bed.
Awesome.
That was great.
Wow.
And then Sally Mann. And then there was a chef. I can't remember where it was, but he served this whole dinner, multi-course dinner, like on a farm or something like that or whatever. And I can't remember if it was just one of the courses or whatever, but at the end of the meal, he came out and he had this like mason jar with him. And he's like, just so you know, the sausages that you ate for your last course or whatever were all made with my blood. Mm. Yeah. pretty big move. We got a little off topic, but we did get back to food.
We did. I know. I was thinking that I'd like to serve him this like really light, bright. We had this yuzu sauce Mikey put on some salmon yesterday.
Yeah.
And
yuzu kosho.
Yeah, it was kosho. So good.
Delicious.
But like a nice little like seaweed so that he gets some good B vitamins to feed his brain. Cause like, well, more to
that's
like
a condescension meal.
Yeah. I was thinking like B vitamins to kind of deal with the stress of learning something new.
Yeah.
And then some rice. Cause he's going to need just like some like quick fuel. He's going to need some energy, and then it's going to have the salmon on it. And that's going to be like the brain food for him. Mm. And then we're going to sprinkle a little bit of that yuzu on top. And that's just going to be the brightness that a light bulb is going to go off and he's just going to suddenly understand why his views are so archaic. But it's, you know, it's like that. It's literally what we feed to our child now, kind of for all the different, all the like
mine.
Different reasons, you know, but kind of similar.
Toddler meals. Yeah. The like adult toddler meal, the toddler meal.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that I want to bring up that, you know, is I keep kind of partying things. Like I keep saying Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, whatever. I totally understand. There are so many people on the liberal side of things that are solipsistic and that are like dumb, like roundy thinkers that are just like, this is the only way to do this. And it's not, I think that both sides, the furthest right, furthest left are both equally dumb. Mm-hmm. Like they both are equally unable to see the nuance in any conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something about that we need to understand. I think that it is like, there is kind of a movement towards kind of like rationality that I think would be beneficial for both sides. So I don't want to make it just about like Republicans are the only bad thing. Like super far left people have some buck wild conversations and buck wild ideas. So
for sure. Yeah. Tell our audience about the place that your family donated to.
Name. I can't remember it right now. I was trying to look it up. Yeah. I'll put it in the show notes.
It was like on the tip of my mom brain and I can't.
We'll put it in the show notes. We're really sorry that we can't pull it up right now, but it's maybe I'll edit the name into the end of the show. But basically it's an organization that helps fund people getting IVF in places where they can't afford it, or that it's really hard to access it, especially in other countries. And it's wonderful. I mean, it's just, it's helping. Like, if we want to talk about Tommy Tuberville one last time, we're probably pronouncing his dumb name wrong. But you know, this is, it literally is a way to help people have more babies, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, and especially IVF, which is just one of those things, any sort of assisted, you know, pregnancy, what's the
assisted reproductive technology,
ARTs, mm-hmm. You know, for us, like we had kind of all of the working parts to have a baby and we literally would not have been able to do it without IVF.
Yeah.
It was like the most unbelievable thing. And I, you know, if Christians say that they love babies, well, there is another baby on the planet because we were able to use IVF. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's look at things a couple steps further than your brain is currently. And mm-hmm. it'll really help you kind of open up your lens and your aperture for understanding what other people are going through. Yeah. Yeah, but I'll put that in the show notes. But they're a great organization. Feel, you know, definitely give them money. Last show I also said, you know, Planned Parenthood, ACLU, Reproductive Center of Alabama, is that what it's called? There's a really great
Yeah, there's the Center for Reproductive Rights, which is the national organization.
Yeah.
And they're a bunch of they're really, really talented lawyers,
yeah.
And a great website to go to kind of stay abreast, yeah. of reproductive situations, sure. in this country.
I mean, the ACLU is one of those groups that they are very, very focused on all the things that are kind of on fire at any
current
point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And they have a very fluid version of the way that they donate money to people. So they will put money, like they, you know, if things are kind of looking good in one direction, they'll aim the fire hose of money at kind of different elements. Mm-hmm. So it's like, they're kind of like, they're on top of things in a way that I think is really impressive.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
I love you.
Love you.
We love you out there as well. Dripping some honey into your ears. If you haven't done IVF, go try it out. It's great. It's really fun. Reach out to us with your stories. We've already had a bunch of people reach out about their IVF journeys and reach out to us and say, like, you know, we're in the IVF crew, things like that. So we also love you if you just had babies another way too.
Sure.
If a baby,
we just, also love you if you've chosen to not have babies.
I love that. I think it's great. I think do whatever you want to do. If you know, if you have 100 dachshunds, fucking you're living the life. Reach out to us. Let's eat at MikeyandRin.com. We're at Mikey and Rin on the Soch. Anything else?
No, we love you. That's it.
Yeah. Fight the good fight. We'll talk more about politics later. It's scary. We're very close to a presidential election. I don't want to see Trump back in the White House. It's looking like that might be a thing. Mm-hmm. Fucking do whatever you can. Fight against it. Let's not let that happen, because there's definitely no nuanced thinking with that dumb asshole. So. Love you. Hey, guys, just real quick. The name of the group that we couldn't remember was, I think it's pronounced An Eden. So A-N-E-D-E-N, and it's anedengives.com. So they're based in Houston, Seattle, and then Lagos, Nigeria. And it's a super cool organization. It's worth reading through. It's all women. They've given over $340,000 in fertility grants to families in Houston, Seattle, and Lagos, Nigeria since 2019. So we're talking about basically 4 years that they've given that amount of money. So it's just very, very cool. Check it out. Again, it's anedengives.com. Of course, we talked about Planned Parenthood, ACLU, Fight the Good Fight. I'll put all the links in the show notes. And we love you. Bye-bye.